I think it's pretty shooty shoot McShoot. Like it's yeah. I think he's done, especially now because you're hearing rumors that WWE is interested.
Welcome to Wrestling with the Truth, the podcast for every pro wrestling fan. We've got heated debate, great guests, top 10 lists, reviews, previews, and so much more. And now here are your hosts, BC Hunter and the Nightmare, Jay Myers. All right, friends, it's BC Hunter back again here on Wrestling with the Truth, along with my good buddy, the Nightmare, Jay Myers. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing a little better with some motivation. It's a long week, and I'm trying to get the sponsor in there for YouTube if we can get No Boats. Little plug for No Boats on Sunday, helping me out here with a little cider drink here. So
we will take sponsors whenever we will we can
absolutely.
Get them,
yeah. I will pour my everything out to get sponsors for the show. So
we're still looking to make that first dollar, right?
Yes, exactly.
We're gonna frame it on the wall.
No boats on Sunday if you're listening, which I know you're not, but we'll gladly take your sponsorship.
You never know.
We got a guest though.
I know, it's November to Remember, which means every week in November we have a fellow podcaster join. And now traditionally it's always been fellow wrestling podcasters, but we're branching out because, you know, that's what we do. As you grow older, you diversify, yeah. You get more mature, you go different routes. And we are excited. We cheated a little bit because our guest actually is a big wrestling fan. So it'll be right.
We didn't venture too far. We can't grow that much overnight.
Exactly. But our guest this evening is Ted from Hooked on Movies podcast. It's one that I've just discovered and over the last couple of months, and it's fantastic. And I can't wait to talk about his podcast. But Ted, how you doing?
Good. Thanks, guys, for having me on. It's been really fun talking to you guys. We met through Twitter and everything, and both liked each other's podcasts. I'm excited to get on and talk some movies, brother.
Nice. Brother, I love it.
Ooh, that's called foreshadowing.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Happy to have you, man.
Thank you.
For sure. Before we get into the nitty gritty with this, as we said, it's November to Remember. Exciting things happen. We're doing a back-to-back Ted type of thing because we had Ted Billy Heel on the last episode along with Will Gray from Botch Spots and Share Shots, and that was a fantastic episode. We're having a blast so far with this, and I fully expect this one to be another great one. But one of the things that we also like to do is we always say if we get a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will read them out. And we just got 2 this week, Jay. 2.
Wow.
We're doubling it up.
Big time. We're hitting the big time right here.
There might be a little bit of cheating going on here, but I won't remember who left them. But
hopefully it doesn't sound like we're bragging. I mean, we did get 2, so.
But I will read them out. So the first one was a 5-star from Mr. 8984. If you're a keen listener to the show, you might know who that is. But the title is My New Fave Pod. And they say they always have great content and have a great mix of old school feel, but current as well. Can you take a guess who that is, Jay?
couldn't possibly. I'm still stuck on the 8184. I'm trying to wrap that one in my head, but
well, it's 8984, and that's our good buddy RN from our
8984.
Yeah, that's from our at first episode from November to Remember from the Smack Raw Pod. So I appreciate that. And then another 5-star.
Much respect.
Yeah, from Franklin T, one of our favorites. Hands down, one of the best pro wrestling podcasts available to listen to. Love the well-thought-out, non-biased, witty takes that we get to hear week to week from BC and Jay. Especially BC. No, I added that part.
Wow, listen. that wouldn't be necessarily wrong. That was like a really thoughtful and caring review. I like that one.
It was, and I do believe that might have came from Mr. Kyle Tyson, which, ironically enough, at the end of our episode with him was talking about monkeys and tearing genitalia off.
So well-spoken for a man who had, what was it? What was his costume or costume?
Costume.
Costume. What was that?
Dick's Wood or something like that.
Dick's Wood. That's what it was. All right. We digress already.
Yeah. We've gone off the rails already, which we tend to do here, Ted. So feel free to just shut us up at any point.
Yeah. You can go off the rails as much as you can.
I enjoy it.
So as we said, Ted's coming to us from Chi-Town, Chicago, and that's a hotbed for wrestling for sure, which is so it's not a surprise that you are a wrestling fan. You were telling us off air that you've been since the 80s a fan of wrestling, and obviously you're a, what's, is it the correct word, a movie file? Is that what you call somebody? That's
cinephile, movie file. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, wrestling has always been something for me. I mean, I don't go back to the days back when Dick the Bruiser ruled Chicago, but I know I have some people I know who do. I actually grew up in Warren, Southern Illinois, so one of my favorite memories is always wrestling from the Chase down in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, WWF at the time, live from the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago.
Yeah.
So those are some really great memories from when I was a kid. But yeah, wrestling's always been something that, you know, it's one of the first like memories that I can that comes to mind. You know, my dad would actually, my mom and dad had put me to bed on Saturday night, and then like 20-30 minutes later, after mom went to bed, he would come get me and we would watch Saturday Night Main Event.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Nice. Sweet.
So yeah, well, I mean, Hulk Hogan was my guy as a kid, and it's funny because, you know, when I can track like my journey through wrestling is like very similar to how everything evolved.
Yeah.
Like Hogan was the man, and then, you know, Hogan left WWF, and then of course, at that point, you know, you're at that awkward stage where, you know, it's not quite cool anymore, but I still watched, and it was, but then like it exploded when Hogan turned heel.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, that blew my mind. I was like floored, and then I've been full bore all the way since.
Right.
It's funny, Ted. I kind of have, for anybody who's been listening since day one for us, I kind of had a similar trajectory. As like, I was late into it as a kind of like 8-9 years old, and then sort of 12-13 went away for like, and that was mid-90s, so that was 92-93, and yep, just was gone until 95-96. So there was a whole period, and I think it was a good time to go away because it wasn't exactly the heyday of pro wrestling. So I didn't miss much, but yeah, it was like, I caught up to like to the Outsiders kind of angle and stuff. So I don't even think I was watching that. Like, I think it was like later 96, early 97 that I got back into everything. 16, 17, kind of back in high school kind of thing.
Yeah. That's very similar. Yeah. Very similar. I mean, the thing that really, I remember watching Nitro because I remember watching the first Raws, and I was like, oh, this is something cool. It's different. And then it kind of got bogged down again in the weeds, as WWF or WWE tends to do at times. And then when Nitro came on, it was like, wow. And then Lex Luger appeared that first night at the Mall of America. And it's like, okay, so this is on. And and then, you know, it waned a little bit too, but I remember watching the first night when Scott Hall came on Nitro. It was like, it blew my mind. I'm like, no, that's Razor Ramon, man.
Yeah.
What's he doing on, Nitro? And it's like, and that's before, you know, like, I didn't really know like who Dave Meltzer was, or the Wrestling Observer, or PW Torch, or anybody like that, who those guys were. And it's like, and then all of a sudden it's like, you go on, the internet blows up, and it's like, oh, you can go to all these different websites, and it's like, oh, you get all this inside dirt, and like, oh, okay, so they are signed. But it's like, you know, it just blew my mind. And then Kevin Nash shows up, and it's like, I was like, so what are they going to do with this? And I'll never forget that Bash at the Beach. I still go back. And now that WWE owns the tape library, I'll still go back and watch the end of that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
All the time. Cause it's just, it's such an amazing moment. It's like,
yeah,
it got real.
It's historic too. Right. I mean, like the Scott Hall coming through the crowd, and what did he say? You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that, that'll be historic. The Nash coming thing. That's part of history. Like, just like, I don't know, Andre slamming or Hogan slamming Andre. And
exactly.
I agree with that. Yeah. Steve,
like those are historical moments that 20 years from now, we're still going to look back on. Like, those were game changers.
Yeah.
I would even throw the Lex showing up on Nitro, because that was definitely not happening before. Wasn't it the same night he was on Raw or whatever? Like,
it was the night after he was on a pay-per-view, I think is what it
right.
was.
Yeah.
Those were historical moments for sure. Now,
yeah,
we haven't had a ton of those since, I guess, that maybe we have, I don't know, but it seems like those were bigger
not
moments.
The same.
It hasn't been the same.
Well, you know what? I would say this, because you actually off air, Ted, you mentioned it, your guy, I would say the closest to any moment, not the same way, because the Andre Hogan thing was iconic.
Right.
The whole Outsiders thing, that was heat beyond
the heel
belief.
Turn. Like, I would say the Bash of the Beach thing is too.
But in modern times, the closest to a moment like that has to be the return of Punk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and everybody knew that it was probably going to happen, especially when Tony Khan changed the venue from the Allstate Arena or the Sears Center to the United Center.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Because
worst
you don't
kept non-secret ever. Like, it wasn't right. even a secret, but it was the worst kept non-secret ever.
you don't change from a 6,500 seat venue to one of the largest arenas in Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
About 25,000 that they can fit there or something?
Yeah, the way they have it set up because they do close off one section when they set it all up. So, yeah, it ends up being about between 20 to 23,000 people.
Jesus, really? That big?
Yeah.
And what is it for hockey? I wonder. Like, it's got to be close to 20 for hockey then.
Oh, 23,
yeah, it's about
20, I think.
Yeah, about 20, about around 25. And then,
wow, that's got to be, yeah.
And then the Bulls play there too. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Them and the Bell Center, Montreal's are the two biggest.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. My stupid butt. I couldn't get, because Ken is my co-host on Hooked on Movies, and we're both big wrestling fans, and he couldn't go to that to the Punk coming back, and so I was like, all right, so I guess we're not gonna go, and. Mm-hmm. I've never really been to a whole lot of wrestling stuff. And I just looked for giggles on SeatGeek on that Friday. And for $85, I could have had tickets right on the rail.
Oh,
and
nice.
where my tickets would have been is where he jumped into the crowd.
No way.
I was kicking myself so bad. But he's my boy.
We won't hold that against you.
I know he's not availed himself in the best.
What's your thoughts on that whole situation, Ted?
I'm my hope is that it's a work and it's not a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really weird that he was sitting right next to Tony Khan when that whole speech and everything went down. And with Punk, it's real easy to blur the lines. Mm-hmm. And everybody had known kind of the thing between he and Hangman Adam Page, that Page kind of took some liberties in a promo with him. And Punk's not the guy you take liberties with, because he's gonna come back and he's gonna, well, he can verbally eviscerate you, and I just, it's hard to tell whether or not they knew he had torn his bicep, and if they knew that he was gonna tear his bicep and they're gonna keep him off for a while, it makes sense then to have, you know, there to be a feud, but the way this has all went and the fact that the Elite have been off AEW TV for this long too, if it is a work, it's a great work because they're working everybody.
Yeah, they would have to be working the reporters too, because it's already been reported that he's been bought out. So, like, it would be the most elaborate work in history.
Yeah.
Personally, at first I was like, okay, it's another work shoot thing, but the way in my opinion, the lackluster announcement Tony Khan did on Dynamite the week after, and he just didn't mention anybody's name, and he just said the titles are vacant. It's like, if it's a work, you absolutely name the people involved in the work, because that's furthering the storyline. If not, then that's the shittiest work ever, because you didn't even reference the people that are in the work storyline, right?
Right.
So, Punk.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. He was nondescript. It was really, I thought, people said it was okay. I didn't think it was good. I thought it was bad. I didn't think that he did a good job to sort of set it up. But anyway, I think it's pretty shooty shoot McShoot. Like it's yeah. I think he's done, especially now, because you're hearing rumors that WWE is interested in him. So.
And it's real interesting that it would end up being Triple H that brings him back, considering it was them wanting Punk to lose to Triple H at WrestleMania.
And which is what got him all worked up.
Is what caused him to jettison back in the, was it 2014?
Something like that, yeah.
And it caused the whole breakup to begin with. But, you know, Punk is he's a proud guy, but he's very volatile. And he's not... It makes me sad, because I wanted to see him and Omega go at it. I wanted to see him and Danielson renew their feud from ROH and back in the day, because they're really good friends. And
Ted, do you think there's any, like, I mean, I don't know the man. I don't know Phil better than
Phil,
anybody.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know Phil anybody.
You don't call him Phil if you see him at the Blackhawks game.
Oh, there you go. But I don't also think if he's just not and again, you don't like to pass judgment, but he appears to be just a bit of a dick. You know what I mean? Which is okay. Like, there's people who are just that way, and that's not his fault. If he's just that way, then why does everyone, not everyone has to be the nicest person in the world. Like, if he's if he's just that way and a bit sort of ornery and a bit of a dick, then so be it. It doesn't mean that he can't make money for you. And so I've gone back and forth on this WWE thing for a while, because at first I was like, what the fuck? Like, what are they going to do bringing this guy back? But then I watched a lot of analysis on it and heard a lot of numbers, and I heard a lot of the actual involvement he had. His arrival was still the highest Rampage number.
Yep.
His Dynamite numbers when he wrestled were still the highest numbers they've had.
Oh yeah.
The pay-per-view buys were still the highest AEW ever had. So as much as people might want to shit on him, the guy brings in fans, and he will have a loyal fan base that will come just because he shows up to WWE. They'll come
Him. Oh, yeah.
And, like,
you
sign him to a Legends deal type thing with Lesnar kind of deal or whatever, he's going to show up 4 or 5 times a year. He's going to stick around 10-plus years after he's done wrestling as a Hall of Fame guy, as a commentary guy, as a special spot Booker T guy. Like,
right.
It actually makes the most sense that he would go back home to the WWE. It really does.
It does. And my thing with that is, who's he gonna dance with? The person that comes right off the page to me that would make the most sense would be Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because I think there's only a handful of guys that could, in my opinion, that could really, I mean, of course I'd love to see him and AJ Styles, go one-on-one, but,
like, I think the obvious story is Roman though, with Heyman.
Yeah.
Roman. Mix,
but here's
right?
the thing.
Because they're both Paul Heyman guys.
Yeah. But here's the difference. I think 2022 version of Phil has and should acknowledge that he wasn't able to do what he thought he was going to be able to do, which would be come back every single night, have a 5-star match every single night, I think he's smart enough to know that his role really is a main attraction once every 4 months kind of match, like an edge. You put it all out right. there in one match every few months. You don't go out there every night. You don't try and have weekly wrestling matches because his body proved he couldn't handle it, right? As much as he wanted to be that guy, I think he would admit now that that didn't work. And I think that's why WWE makes even more sense, is because you can have him come back for PLEs and just one-offs and like and build that thing for 3 months with him just showing up to work a mic. He doesn't have to wrestle until the pay-per-view, right? So I think there's a lot of reasons why it actually makes sense. Now, egos getting involved, who knows, right? but the word is that Paul Heyman's involvement, and it's a new era for Triple H. Triple H wants to make money. That's all he cares about. He's already proven he doesn't hold on to grudges like Vince did or whatever, right? So Triple H was the guy who got Bruno back, who got Warrior back for Vince, right? So I mean, it all adds up, and people, I would love to see the internet blow up if he does show back up. That would be my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, it would be a huge story. I mean, it would be massive. They would pop. We'll put it this way: Fox and NBC would be fighting each other to him to come back on their show.
Yeah, agreed.
So, and that's one of the beauties that they have, where they have two competing networks. Mm-hmm. You want it on your TV. Well, you're going to afford us this much money.
Yeah.
And that, as simple as that. It's because it would be massive. And from what I had heard from, cause I generally follow Wrestling Inc. To get my news, I guess he has stated privately that he has the bug again to continue. So, you know, he won't be healthy again probably until after WrestleMania. So
I think the terms of the buyout aren't until the summer anyway, or something like that. I think from what I was reading, if what we're reading is true, they did buy him out, but it would be sort of, I think it still runs until like he's not actually free from the contract until the summer. So I don't know. Maybe that was the injury stuff too. Maybe that was tied into that.
Well, speaking of injuries speaking of injuries, the WWE style is going to be more conducive to him as well. Yes, he's going to be much safer. Yes, and I'll tell you what, I just thought of a beautiful matchup for him. What if he comes back and goes up against, on the microphone, Logan Paul?
Oh,
two polarizing figures going at it. Could you imagine that?
That would be pretty great. That's amazing that you brought that up. To be perfectly honest, when we sat down to watch WrestleMania, Ken and I, I was like, what is this guy doing? Because I have no love for either one of those, either of the Paul brothers. I can't stand them. But I will say this, Logan Paul has, he surprised me on WrestleMania. He probably had one of the best matches on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I haven't watched The Crown Jewel.
Oh, you got to watch that.
Check it out. Yeah.
Just watch that really match. Good. He's unbelievable in it.
Yeah.
And the story's unbelievable in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he's doing that against Roman, who, you know, that's the face of wrestling right now.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I love AEW, and we've talked a lot about AEW, Roman is the face. When you think of wrestling now, he's it. And to do that against to do that with Roman, is pretty amazing. So,
yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. It's, I think just on the microphone alone, those two going at it, they would be so skeezy, the two of them on the microphone, just taking low blow after low blow.
There might not be a cheer in the whole crowd.
I know.
It might just be all booze.
It would be very interesting. And
the Paul stuff is great. I read that or heard. I mean, I watched videos and they tell you all the news, but apparently, so one, the injury thing was mind-boggling to me because he couldn't see it at all. So he apparently, Ted, halfway through the match, blew his meniscus, his ACL, and partially tore something else. Which
doing a buckshot lariat better than Hangman is that Page. What it was? No. It was the buckshot lariat.
And you couldn't, it was amazing. That was way better than Page, but you couldn't tell. Like, he was the rest of the match, he was complete. Anyway, but apparently he got a standing O as soon as he got back to the gorilla, and like everybody was cheering him, and literally had Triple H say, "You are like, that's a future world champion right there." Like, that's awesome. That's how much he got over with the boys in the back. So I think we're not seeing the last of Logan Paul. Yeah.
No,
that's such a good matchup. Such a good juicy matchup. As much as I hate Punk, and I'm sorry I do.
That would be understandable.
I pay to see that. And
The only their styles would be really good together too. Like they would fit really well stylistically.
Definitely. But the only thing that would bug me about Punk coming back to WWE is the fans starting to chant for him again. If that started all over, we finally got rid of that. We finally got the sabotage of matches done. And if that starts again, that would drive me out of my mind. Yeah.
It was that was something in that period of time where the fans would hijack the show.
It ruined a lot of shows.
And I hate to say it, but it's part of why I think Vince hated to come to Chicago. Like, he did not want to come to Chicago. Chicago didn't get hardly any major pay-per-views anymore. And it was because the fans here they wanted Punk. And Punk is, you know, the second city savior. Yeah. And I did not like that. I will say this though, I hate the what chant.
Yes.
More than
I hate all the chants.
I
was just thinking about this. Like, weirdly, it's almost like since crowds have come back after the sort of COVID period, it's like, I don't think we're getting a whole lot of hijacking stuff anymore, are we? I mean, it doesn't ring a bell with
this is awesome stuff and all that.
That's the usual. Yeah.
If you watch NXT, my God, the crowd on NXT is just so obnoxious.
Oh, I know. But they're also in a tight spot and they're really on top of each other. But yeah, that's true. Just before we move on, speaking of returns, there's a strong rumor and a strong validated rumor apparently that Austin is wanting to come back full time and actually
I read that today.
He was so jacked. What do we think about that?
Full time
schedule,
like a legend
full time, Edge kind of thing. Like, man, he's got to be in good shape if that's the case, because he looked decent at Mania, but it was hard to tell based on that match, right?
Well, here's the thing too though. He was also going with another one of my favorite guys right now, which is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Who I think is just absolutely.
He's so good.
He's lights out. One of the best. Yeah. You know, there is a 17, 18, 19 year old that still lives inside of the 43 year old body that says Austin coming back. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But he's been away from it, and
think it's like he sees Edge, he sees Brock, sees Goldberg even coming back randomly. Like, it can be done. Absolutely can be done. Well, I know, but you know what I mean. Like, he sees all these guys.
Goldberg tried to kill the Undertaker. So
yeah, that's
and true. I actually watched that. That was.
It was scary
and bad.
But I just don't know if it's out of the question anymore. I just don't. I think it's a reasonable thing.
The other thing is the stem cell therapy. That's what's helping all these guys get
back.
Right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rey Mysterio's massive into that. That's why
I hate to admit it, because I kind of love hate Rey, but he's been phenomenal. And like, he looks like he's his 25-year-old self. Like, it's great.
He has been. And, you know, if they can get the whole thing where his neck is going to be okay.
Because you got to be able to take bumps, right? You can't go in there and not be able to take a bump.
I don't want to have to see Austin in a wheelchair.
Yes.
No, agreed.
And that's what I'm afraid of at this point. Because
I don't think they would let it get there, but you never know.
Yeah, and he's real good friends with Triple H too. Yeah. So if Triple H wouldn't, I don't think would put him in harm.
No, I agree.
But if he wants to, I'm never one to sit there and say somebody should or shouldn't do something.
Yeah.
I just hope he's safe. And the WWE version of wrestling is much safer.
Yeah.
So
I'm just picturing all those fantastic matches we could have, or storylines we could have with, and how much an Austin angle with somebody elevates them to the fact that they're having to step their game up on the mic. They're having to really work the storyline, the character stuff more. Like, it's just, he would make it better for everyone if he was back regularly.
Hopefully, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, all I was going to say is, like, our top video on YouTube, as you were asking about YouTube before, it's titled Austin 152. And it's just me doing like 2 minutes just talking about Austin and that promo he gave when he announced he was coming back
from his ranch. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it just blew anything away that anybody was able to do in it's 152, because in a minute and 52 seconds, he absolutely grabbed everybody and said, okay, I want to go watch WrestleMania now. So just having him there doing promos would be amazing, but I'm completely with you. That's the one thing I say about AEW is I don't like watching it and cringing, wondering, is somebody going to get really seriously hurt here? I don't want to be worried about Stone Cold Steve Austin getting crippled in a ring either, right?
I agree. But I just don't see that. I think they would have every single clearance before he gets back. Well, he obviously was clear enough to be physical in Mania. So.
And it was physical.
It was definitely physical. He might not have taken any serious bumps, but he was definitely physical in there.
Backdrop like, on the concrete.
Forgot about that. I would be so all for that, and just it would just oh man it just and like I don't think he really ended his career the way he wanted to, so I think that's probably playing into it as well, right? So I think just giving him the chance, like an Edge, right? Edge got to come back and actually do it his way now, and I think Steve would. But I'll throw this out there, do you guys like, and I've thought about this a lot lately, and I am a Hogan guy, I love Hogan, and I didn't love him as much as a kid, but I respect what he did now a little bit more. But like, is Austin, given your point there, BC, about how many views and stuff just because it was Austin, can we firmly say that Austin is the greatest of all time, like as far as draw? Like, I truly think he might be.
I'm going to argue, and I had this conversation with Jen the other day, just talking about comparing, because we're talking about Flair versus Hogan versus Austin, right? And I still got to give it to Hogan. The thing is, they're intentionally trying to get rid of Hogan because he's got so much stank on him right now, right? Yeah. And Austin didn't do it for as long as Hogan, just because of the injuries. It wasn't his fault. It was because of the injuries. But the other thing,
makes him hotter. Because he did it in such a short time.
So if he could have done it for a longer period, he would have been definitely go down. The other thing we were talking about was merch sales, where Austin is the overall winner in merch sales. But remember, when Hogan was doing it, you didn't have an internet. You had to order through a catalog to get a Hogan t-shirt.
Right.
You had the internet where you can go on and purchase an Austin 316 shirt. It was as soon as that Austin 316 promo came out, there was t-shirts the next day.
I'm just trying to think. I don't know, man. 97, 98, there wasn't a WWE shop like there is today, though.
There was a WWE.com, though, and they'd be advertising that stuff.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Easier. I don't ever remember. That's why I say it's, you can't compare apples to oranges. Yeah. It's just like somebody who watched Bruno would say, well, Bruno was the biggest draw of all time, right? And how can you argue that? You can't.
Yeah,
right?
How many times did he sell out Madison Square Garden?
All I can say is Austin and Hogan are on your Mount Rushmore.
The way I just look at it more, it's like, just given his still draw now, given the hype he has, given the pop culture draw that he has. I mean, I know Hogan did in his time too.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, everyone, any non-wrestling fan knows Stone Cold Steve Austin. They might struggle now in 2022 if they're young to know who Hogan is, right? I mean, that's just, now maybe that's just a sign of the times and Steve's younger, but still, but
the argument is, would they have known Austin as well without the groundwork laid by Hogan?
Maybe.
It's apple and oranges, right?
It's a real chicken and egg type of thing. Mm-hmm. I did hear Bruce Pritchard talk, and he said it more than once, I think, on his podcast, Something to Wrestle With, that as far as dollars go, that Austin is number one. Because I mean, God, back in that time, they were selling out massive arenas in, you know, less than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy a ticket. You couldn't even scalp a ticket. Mm-hmm. People wanted them so bad. And Hogan's Hogan. Mm-hmm. Without Hogan there
is no Austin, probably. Yeah.
Right. Where would wrestling have been? What would have happened? But Austin's massive. He's a massive name. It's like part of me still wants I still want this Roman versus The Rock thing to go down.
Mm-hmm.
If The Rock can make it so he can still get insured by the movie studios.
Right.
I think that's happening. I think that's happening. I think The Rock is so big now in Hollywood that he can dictate that stuff now. I think my only worry is that it's not for the belt, but we've been down that road a little bit, but
yeah.
Well, see, this is what WWE has done, in my opinion. And this is what my biggest beef with them, especially towards the end of the Vince era, was they routinely booked themselves into a corner where both guys neither guy could take a loss. Mm-hmm. And they did this repeatedly. And now that, okay, we decided we're going to stick with Roman. Now who beats him? And I think they're kind of at a loss right now because they've not developed a massive star to come along and topple off Roman.
Who's your pick, Ted? Who do you think's going to do it?
Well, you know who I don't want? I don't want them to make the mistake of putting it back on Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think they need to let Bray Wyatt do the Bray Wyatt thing and let him take over the mantle of the Undertaker as the supernatural power.
Agreed.
Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, did not need the title.
No. Nope.
It made no sense.
It hurt him. It hurt him.
Yes. It helped him. It ruined the character.
It humanized him.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I was one of the only people in the world, I think, that actually liked when they wrestled with the red light and everything. I thought that was kind of cool. But, you know, they've done so much damage. Why couldn't Shinsuke Nakamura have been the guy to take on Roman or Finn Balor? I mean, these are two guys that are huge stars that just exude personality. But they've done a lot of damage to them as far as same with Kevin Owens. I love Kevin Owens.
That's my pick, Kevin Owens. Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to have? Or what are they going to do? Are they going to have Sami Zayn be like the worm in the honorary Uso that makes the turn on Roman and tries to take the title? I mean, okay. But you've done so much damage to his character.
Yeah. But think of what you just ran through. Think of all the options now. And those were pre-Triple H creative stories that I'm telling, right? They now have a lot of options to go with. I just read recently that they do have someone in mind, and the names being sort of bantied about are Cody and our who was it? Who was the other person? I can't remember who the other person was. But I don't think it is Sammy. I think Sammy's going to come out of this better than he came into it.
Yeah.
But they didn't even think this Sammy storyline was going to run this long, because that's why Kevin Owens has been off TV, is because they were supposed to go into a thing with Sammy and Kevin, but like Sammy's been too hot. They couldn't kill it. So right. I do think all of these options are for the better, because that just means that for the first time in a long while, they've built stars up again. Like, I don't think Sammy is the guy to do it, but he could believably do it now based on his thing. You do have Cody waiting in the wings. You do have Seth being built up. You've got a heel Lashley now coming, right? Which I'm all for.
Yeah.
Let's go with heel Lashley, because that's where he should always be. He's
a monster.
There.
Yeah.
Brock hasn't gone away, but apparently it's not going to be Brock and Roman. They've already kind of killed that they're not going to do Brock and Roman again. But like, I'm sorry, boys, we got a lot of options now, and legitimate options that we couldn't say pre Triple H creative storytelling, I don't think. Like,
right.
And I think Cody is the logical thing here because he was so over. And I think Triple H acknowledges that he still has his run to do here. But again, we got Rumble season coming up. Right, we got, right. I think they've already kiboshed the Fiend. I don't think they're Bray Wyatt. Like Bray Wyatt is going to be far away from that. Cause they've already booked him up until summer, till like the summer apparently. So
oh, good.
I don't think he's in the play.
Good. Just keep him away. Let him do his thing. Cause yeah. What he's doing is so cool.
Oh, it's so good.
So unique. It's like, don't touch it.
None of us can know what the hell they're doing. Cause like, I'm still at a loss. Cause I don't know where they're going with it. Right. But it's clearly mapped out, all of the little subtle things with the Alexa stuff and the vignette in the back. Like, they're clearly got a plan, but I can't figure it out. Not for any lick.
If one of the things, too, that I think if Austin coming back, I think the one thing, one of the main things that he can instill in some of these and give confidence to some of these guys with the stick and –
yeah,
because he's a brilliant mic man, and he was one of the guys that would throw the script in somebody's face, saying, "I'm not saying this," mm-hmm. And because I think a lot of the guys in WWE, and you could really tell the last few years, they were afraid on the mic.
Yeah.
Like if they deviated slightly off of the quote unquote script, which I've never been a fan of, because it takes the spontaneity out of it. I mean, he would immediately be able to help some of these guys get their confidence back on the mic. And, you know, and people say, you know, who's to say in 2024, or, you know, depending on how the contract is going, depending on who you believe, MJF in the WWE is a megastar.
Yeah. It's a match made in heaven.
You talk about somebody who he has the charisma of a modern day Ric Flair, mm-hmm. except he can't wrestle as good as Ric Flair. If he could get his wrestling up just a little bit more, we're looking at the modern day Ric Flair, and he's amazing. And the fact that they're realizing that, oh my God, he could be a monster babyface now. It's like, yeah, because that's how good he is. And people can say what they want. He's that good on the mic. And that's one of the things we go back to Punk. I'm sad that we're not going to get the weekly banter back and forth between the two of them. But he's another one that could add a lot to, because he elevates people's mic skills when he's out there. And if Punk comes to WWE too, there's another guy that could really impart some wisdom if he chooses to.
Yeah.
And that's a huge if.
Or he eats them up.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
well, it's funny. And BC knows this. I was a Punk guy. Then I wavered. I was excited when he came back, but now I'm kind of back on the, I'm not a big, but the rumor going out there is that Punk is looking like he's the actual sort of, I don't want to say victim in the whole press conference thing, but the word is Triple H had a conversation with FTR, who he's frequently in contact with, which is curious to begin with right there that he has frequent conversations with FTR. But apparently they vouched for Punk and said he's been nothing but professional. He tried to give people advice in the back. He tried to sort of lend his expertise, but it's a very much a party episode, a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs going on in the back. Video game room set up in the back, like all the stuff that like
ECW with video
kind
games.
kind of makes but the elite side of things look like they really were at fault, and Punk was actually trying to instill some like veteran leadership, and which is why it was that was sort of told as a way to say that this is why Triple H does want to bring him back, because he's hearing this from his trusted boys and FTR. They're saying, no, 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 look, he did everything
right.
That's
who he should bring back.
Right. No, and I'm sure he's trying, but they're saying like, no, no, he tried to do everything right. He tried to be the veteran. He tried to give guys thing, but it was nothing but partying going on the back. There's a video game room set up, and like Triple H is not of any of that. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't, I guess he doesn't like, he doesn't let them do video games and in the locker room and all that stuff too. So it's like,
he
actually endeared himself to Triple H. Right. I mean, like, so that's why they're saying, no, this is why he's actually probably trying to get him to come back, because of what FDR was saying. Right.
The irony of Triple H and CM Punk is they have a hell of a lot more in common than most people.
Yeah. They're both straight edge. They're
They both will climb over their grandmother to get to the top. All these different things. Yeah.
Which is probably why they butted heads in the back. I mean, when they were competing. Right. But anyway, just to sell Punk a little bit more. That's what's coming out of this conversation. That's why people are like, well, how the hell would Triple H have him back after all this stuff? But that's why, it's because FTR, or a trusted source in their locker room, is saying, no, no, he was not the problem in the locker room. The other guys were.
Right. And one of the things too that's baffled me here recently with AEW is they do have FTR. FTR holds three of the major belts, tag team belts. Why they didn't put the AEW tag team belts on
them? It's because the Elite don't want them to have it, man. That's why.
And that's,
it's
because that's crazy,
the Bucks don't want it. The
that
Bucks do not want to be
insane
in there with the FDR, because the Bucks know that FDR will blow them out of the water.
Yes.
Both in the ring and from the crowd reaction. 100%.
Yeah, they still are without the titles. That's the thing. They're blowing. I've never seen a team so intentionally getting kept away from titles as I've ever seen with FDR. Like this whole them losing their number one contendership match to Swerve in Our Glory, like that just made no sense whatsoever. It's just
that's ridiculous, because those two guys should have been broke up a long time ago. But and I don't know, one thing that I did hear read recently that really caught my eye is this whole idea of the Forbidden Door, which I thought that was a really pretty decent AEW pay-per-view. But I like the idea of Will Ospreay opening up the Forbidden Door for Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. If New Japan and WWE can open up the Forbidden Door, that would be pretty awesome.
Ted, I think they already have, man. We got Shinsuke at Shinsuke's at one of the, I think the Tokyo Dome show. We've got a whole we've got a whole angle with Anderson and Hikuleo, whatever. That's clearly a worked angle, like that they're going with there. We talked about this on the last show. I think they are setting up something massive. Like they are setting the groundwork for a massive combined show, and I think it's going to blow anything AEW did out of the water.
They've said that Survivor Series is going to be completely different than it's ever been. Wouldn't that be something if you get Bullet Club versus WWE and all of a sudden,
That would be cool. I think that's a little premature. Maybe I was thinking Rumble. They start to mix some people into Rumble. They show up as entrants and all that stuff, but that would be awesome.
I mean,
if they did it.
You get the Bullet Club versus Finn Balor. And cause he's the one who came up with the Bullet Club.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They
mentioned it on the air the other night.
They absolutely did. Yeah, they absolutely did.
See, then WWE will drop nuggets like that.
Yep. Well, and Cole on the pay-per-view said New Japan never open weight champion Carl Anderson. Yep. Like they referenced the belt on TV. They referenced Shinsuke going over to face what's his name, the Great Muta. Like
it was a great
Muta. They don't do things accidentally. These are purposeful things that they're sort of nibbling out there that I think is leading to a big, because let's be real, Triple H, although he seems like a decent guy, He's like, oh yeah, you got AEW. You want to do a combined show? Cool. We'll do that times four. We'll right. do it in the Tokyo Dome, right?
Exactly. We'll sell it 100,000
exactly.
arena.
Yeah.
And they could oh, for sure. Yeah. With, oh, with God, the two of them combined yeah. marketing, like yeah. that would yeah. be huge. Yeah.
That would be so cool. There's so many dream matches running around there. I mean, holy crap. Could you imagine Okada versus Roman Reigns?
I was just going to say Okada versus anyone would be sweet too. And like,
holy smokes,
what's the other guy's name with the longer hair? He was champ for a while too.
Naito?
Not a new Japan. Naito. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that Naito? Yeah. He kind of, yeah, I think that's who I'm thinking of. He's great.
And even though he's
evil,
little,
you got all those factions. Like there's so many cool stuff.
And even though he's a little undersized, Jay White can go.
I like Jay White.
I can see Jay White coming into the WWE pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, he can
absolutely.
So go. And you know,
but
the first
but you
time
mentioned
I
Ospreay.
Him,
I fell in love with Ospreay too during all his stuff because I really like that guy too. Like I thought he was just a spot monkey before, but he clearly has he's obviously spot guy, but he can go too, and he has a good kind of presence in the ring too. So anyway, sorry.
No,
Ospreay is good too.
Yeah, I mean, these are some dream matches that could definitely be set up. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we brought up FTR going between, as a go-between between AEW and Triple H. And, you know, I think we're entering into an era where I think Triple H, and this is something Vince would never have been open to in a million years. And I think that the whole idea of a cross-promotional thing is something that Triple H is totally open to because he was for when DX was rolling, they were denied being able to have an angle with the NWO. And like flat out, like there was no way it would ever happen. And I think he sees the benefit in something like that. So, I mean, I would never count out seeing a cross promotion between AEW and WWE too. I mean, I don't know how soon,
well, you make a good point. I don't think anything's off the table when it comes to Triple H now, but whether they'd want to go that close to home, that might be a little more interesting. I think the New Japan thing makes more sense because it's really competition, but not. I mean, it's the Japanese version of WWE, so they don't like for BC and I, like we don't catch New Japan on the weekly, right? So you're not really, you're not consuming or cannibalizing your own market. You're actually just sort of
you're opening up your market.
You're trying to bring in new fans, right? Which they both would be doing. AEW would be a little different, but you bring up a good point. I think Triple H is up for anything if it makes money and makes sense, and he's a history guy too, so.
Yeah, I mean, we finally got somebody. Somebody's finally in control, and this is what I've been saying. I've been chomping at the bit for like 4 or 5 years, is that I wanted, because I loved NXT. I thought NXT for a while was better than the main roster stuff.
Yeah,
and I would watch like the Adam Cole stuff and all of that. I loved the Undisputed Era. I thought it was awesome. FTR should never have went to the main roster. I was sad every time a major star left NXT to go to the main roster because I knew that they were going to crap all over. Yeah.
And that wasn't like, Triple H's fault, but it was bad.
It was one right after another. And you look at these guys, these are some of the guys that are leading the industry now. And it's like, man, guys, you really, if you could have just gotten out of your way, it'd be even more amazing.
All right, this has been fun talking wrestling, but let's talk movies here, because I'm intrigued to get into your world here for a little bit.
Okay.
Because off air, we were talking about Blair Witch, and tell me how that episode goes. Where did you rewatch? Do you typically rewatch the movie and then talk about it?
Yeah, in preparation for each episode, I usually watch the movie that we're going to be discussing generally about 2 or 3 times in the week before. And then take mental notes. But then you go through IMDb and go through all the trivia and you get some of the back behind the scenes stuff. And then generally I'll try to find one or two articles or like, you know, things you didn't know about this movie or whatever. The crazy thing with the Blair Witch that I had seen, I had remember seeing that movie. Well, when you listen to the episode,
theater,
yeah, I saw it in the theater. So, but Ken came at it from a completely different point of view, and it just kind of blew my mind. And it was like, I've watched this movie for like 20 years and it never crossed my mind to look at it from a different point of view. It's like his, I don't want to ruin his, what his, the big twist was, but it, I guess other people have had this idea and I just never, I never encountered it. So that does happen from time to time, but that's one of my more favorite episodes that we've done. And then we wrapped up, we'd also did as a standalone horror, we did Poltergeist, the original.
Nice.
Which was a really good episode. And then to start off, because we just changed our name to Hooked on Movies. We were the Movie Marquee for quite a while. And so when we rebranded the podcast, we started on October 1st, and we did three horror movies to start off the new podcast name with The Exorcist, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and then Ken chose an older movie called The Haunted Palace with Vincent Price, which, you know, a lot of people might not have... like, especially like our age, probably have not caught that movie. It was a Vincent Price movie I had never seen, but
so like he was like 50s or 60s, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was. It's a 1960s movie. It's part of I know Jay, you'd said that you're a horror guy. It's a Roger Corman movie.
Oh, okay.
It's part of the Roger Corman, Edgar Allan Poe series of movies. So like Pit and a Pendulum and Mask of the Red Death. Mm-hmm. Cool. Fall of the House Usher. And it was really cool, like a couple of things out of that episode that, you know, I hadn't, going in, it was one of those movies that I had never seen. And so like in the movie, they, as an example of something that was really kind of awesome that I found out about, the town where this whole takes place is called Arkham. And I'm nice. Like, I was like, I had to stop the movie. I'm watching it for the first time. Like he just said Arkham. So I'm sitting there automatically. I bring on my iPad and I'm going through Arkham. Well, Arkham, I guess, was a Lovecraft thing, an H.P. Lovecraft thing that then was taken over by Batman, by the creators of Batman. Because I guess the creators of Batman were kind of like into like the Lovecraftian type of idea, and they stole the whole Arkham Asylum,
cool,
from H.P. Lovecraft, and I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. I had never known that. So it's fun when you get stuff that you had never encountered before. Like
well, oh, I gotta say, these guys do a deep dive into stuff. Like I said, like the JFK episode was fantastic. The way you guys tore, you went through like the whole idea of what the political realm was at the time, looking at the political realm in the 60s, why maybe there wasn't more of an investigation to it, because the people were just, it was such a tender spot for the public back in the 60s and they didn't want to open that up. All these, it was just great the way it went through it. And by the way, Jay, I just went through the list of every one of their episodes, and they happen to focus on, they like to focus on directors and certain actors.
That's my thing.
So one of the directors they focus on is Richard Donner. And one of the movies is The Goonies, one of Mr. Meyer's favorite movies, and The Omen as well. So one of
the classics.
Yeah.
Big Goonies fan.
Love The Omen. The Richard Donner was a Ken, Ken chose him as a director, because we did do directors for quite a while. Directors are my thing. That's how I generally view movies, is by director. And, it's interesting because the you brought up The Goonies. It makes me laugh because Eric and I both were like, oh, Ken, you've got to do The Goonies if we're going to do Richard Donner. because he was like, do I do both Superman? I'm like, well, you got to do the Goonies. And so we were both like jacked to watch the Goonies and everything. I bought the 4K version just, you know, in preparations and everything. And I won't give anything away, but I came away and Eric and I were both disappointed. And Ken kept going. He goes, you guys keep asking me, you keep telling me you got to do these movies and then you don't like them. I'm like, well, we go into it thinking it's going to be awesome. And it's like, oh, but so yeah, he got a little frustrated with us over that. But, but yeah, no, we have movies for all tastes. You know, and it's interesting, the movies that we've done that I think the most interesting thing as far as listeners go is some movies you think that are going to be huge, you know, for us. I mean, we're a small podcast, that you would think would do a lot more listeners don't, but then something obscure does. And it's like, okay.
Because nobody else is doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's like, because we did The Princess Bride. We did Rob Reiner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it hasn't eclipsed up to, pardon me, up to the heights of what I would have thought. Because I figured everybody loved The Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting in that way.
All right, let's jump into, we're going to connect the dots here. We're going to connect wrestling and movies. And you being a big movie buff, Jay being a big movie buff, I'm a semi-movie buff, although I haven't really been keeping up with movies over the last little while, but anything from the 80s, I'm your guy. Look, you know, that's okay. For sure. If you ever do a La Bamba episode, I'm there for you, by the way.
Dirty Dancing is BC's jam.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I saw you did National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That makes me very happy. But we're going to talk about, I want to get your opinion. We're going to talk about wrestling movies. So we'll also get into, we'll make a quick debate between amongst us. Who's the best wrestler that got into movies? Who had the best career? It doesn't have to be particularly wrestling movies. I'm sure we all have an opinion on that. But some of your favorite wrestling movies, either a movie about wrestling or something that involved wrestling. What, like, I just was doing research and put up a list. I actually found that I'm ashamed that I haven't seen yet. So I will have to look at them. But in your opinion, Ted, what are some of the best wrestling movies? Yes.
As far as if we keep it on the serious side, the Darren Aronofsky movie, The Wrestler, mm-hmm. with Mickey Rourke, I think it was so heartbreaking. It was Darren Aronofsky, because he doesn't tend to make happy movies. It was so brilliant. And Mickey Rourke was so good. It resurrected his career. Mm-hmm. And because he really played into our childhood. This was a guy who was big in the 80s, and then of course he fell off. And if you follow, and like, because I followed like the lives of some of the guys that I followed in the 80s, and a lot of them fell into this category, like what Mickey Rourke's character was. And as far as being authentic, I think it doesn't get much more authentic than that. I mean, and I don't know what the most heartbreaking part of that was, that movie was, but the part that got me the most was when he's trying to hold on, and he goes to this one show, and there's only like five or six guys signing autographs, and the one guy's in a wheelchair, and another, I mean, and these are guys that he wrestled, and it's like, they're falling asleep at the table. It's like, man, it that was so heartbreaking. But on the fun side of it, I really enjoyed wrestling with the family, with the Soraya story,
right?
Page. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I thought that was fun. And then when you go really stupid, of course, there's Ready to Rumble.
Yeah. Which on my list.
It's Jay's favorite movie of all time.
Which unfortunately came into the real life where David Arquette ended up being WCW champion. those are some of the big ones. Another one that kind of sticks out is it's an older movie. It's from the 30s. It's called Requiem for a Heavyweight, and it stars Anthony Quinn, and he plays a boxing heavyweight who he's punch drunk essentially. Yeah. He's been used as a punching bag, and at the end of his career, he hooks up with a manager who convinces him to become a wrestler. And it's like, oh man, it's such an amazing movie for an old movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really cool.
Sounds Jay, what cool. about yourself, man?
Yeah. Well, I mean, last episode, I think we were talking about this too. I definitely listed The Wrestler, cause that's one that sticks out. I really like that movie, and I thought Ready to Rumble was fun. I really did like that movie. I thought it was a good time. Definitely No Holds Barred. We brought that up too last episode, yeah. But it was a fun movie. I was in the heyday of all the Hulk Hogan movies, so Suburban Commando, and,
yep,
Mr. Nanny,
yep. And Days of Paradise. What is it? Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise. Yeah. Like,
so, I mean, definitely, but yeah, I think The Wrestler to me is the one that sticks out the most. It was a good movie.
Yeah, and when it transferred over too, like I heard Chris Jericho talk that like he had some legitimate heat with Mickey Rourke over the whole WrestleMania spot. I guess Mickey really kind of wanted to take things a little bit too seriously. And Mickey Rourke's not one to mess with it. I mean, he was a Golden Gloves champion boxer. Mm-hmm. Like he could seriously mess you up. And I guess he started to take a little bit of what Chris Jericho was saying seriously and was none too happy. But yeah, no, that's funny.
Ironically, Jericho's starting to morph into Randy the Ram at this point in his career.
I still love Chris.
He's great.
He's the man. He will always be the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
Speaking of rock and roll, have you seen his performance on The Masked Singer?
Yeah, I heard. No, do we know that for a fact? Is that?
Oh,
is
come
that
on! Oh, wow, that is definitely him.
Oh wow. Well, I like his band because I do have a little metal head in me. Fozzy's awesome, and
I saw them live. They came here to Halifax, and it was a great show. Yeah,
cool. Yeah,
even if he wasn't singing, it was still a good show.
He doesn't sing.
Well, it was questionable.
Really
it was questionable. Yeah, I mean, he was an amazing performer. But it was probably questionable, especially on some of the songs where it's like literally like it's not just rocking out, and you get a voice and you're like, it doesn't really sound like the audio that I'm used to, but
interesting. He's not hopefully he's not Milli Vanilli.
No, I think what they do is they play the track behind him and he sings over top of it, but like you're getting a bit of an enhanced live version of his, because I think like I love him. I love Jericho. I love Fozzy, but I think they engineer the shit out of it in the studio so that kind of ups his audio a bit. But then on the road, you're just like, so it was an amazing performance. He was rocking the hell out. Like it was so good. Judas, it was great, but he's clearly got something sort of behind him vocally, sort of like in the background too. But
yeah, because
it was still a great performance.
They've played O2. They played some of an Airborne.
Now that was like 5-6 years ago, so maybe he's really upped his vocal game too. But I don't hate on
The Masked Singer.
No, but I don't hate on it on a rock band like that if that's the case, because he's a showman. He's not really there for the singing. Yeah. He's there for the performance.
Yeah, because they've played some of the biggest, concert series in the world. I know that they were at Wacken, the Wacken Festival too. So wow, and if that's the case, hopefully nobody finds out, because Metal fans can be kind of brutal.
I think he gets a pass, but
probably he's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay, any others in your favorites?
No, I think that would be like sort of the ones that really resonate with me. I'm sure there is, but those are the big ones that stand out. Like I did like Ready to Rumble. I watched it a couple times. And nostalgically, No Holds Barred is up there for sure.
Yeah. I'm the same for nostalgia. It's No Holds Barred. That's one of the first movies I realized a wrestler was in. As I grow older, though, Beyond the Mat is just phenomenal.
Does that count, though? It's a documentary.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Wrestling with Shadows then would have to be up there.
I included Wrestling with Shadows in there, too, right? But They Live. I know it's not a wrestling movie, but it's got Roddy Piper.
They've heard a bunch of movies, too.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movie. I love Jesse Ventura's performance in Predator, too.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Fantastic. And then, you know, it's funny. There's a couple that I realize I have not watched and I have to watch, and maybe you have seen these, Ted, but Paradise Alley with Terry Funk in it with Stallone. Have you ever watched that one?
Yeah. That's another good movie, but
it sounds a lot like the Anthony Quinn one.
Yeah, it is. It's very similar. Mm-hmm. The other Terry Funk makes an appearance in Roadhouse.
Over the top too.
Yeah. Oh, Roadhouse. I remember Roadhouse.
Yeah. He's in Roadhouse. He kicks butt.
Yeah, he does.
Nice.
The Funk is the man.
I know. And then this is gonna be way out of left field, but my wife actually picked this one and just said, "Hey, you should come watch this. It's about wrestling." Well, it wasn't totally about wrestling after all, but it's ironic. I was talking about this to one of my coworkers, and they just recently watched too. But it's not a new movie, but The Peanut Butter Falcon. Have you ever watched that?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So this is I don't know how you pronounce his name. Shia LaBeouf. Is that how you pronounce
it? Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. He's the star of it, but he's like this, basically this shady guy down in the swamplands and stuff like that, who's on the run from a couple of guys. And so he meets up with this this guy. He's got Down syndrome, and he escapes from he's living in a senior citizens complex because there's nowhere else for him to go. And he's a big wrestling fan, and his dream is to meet his favorite wrestler. And I forget what the guy's name is, his favorite wrestler. But it's pretty funny, right? It's kind of like a Louisiana name. But anyways, turns out, do you remember the show Wings?
Yeah.
Remember Lowell from Wings?
Okay, yeah.
He's the wrestler. I'm looking at it. Oh, really? It's more of a story about them bonding, and then there's some really cool scenery in it too, like because they're traveling from, they're in Virginia and they're heading to South Carolina or something like that. Kind of reminds you of like the one with Clooney where it's it's the set in the 30s or whatever, I forget what it's called.
Leatherheads or something.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, so the whole story is them binding. He finally gets to meet his hero, and it's not quite as he thinks, but then things turn around. It's a cute movie, I'll say that. It's a safe movie, but we sat down and watched it, we enjoyed it. It was a good story. And I'm not a Shia LaBeouf guy. I think he's kind of wacky.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, but he actually was really good.
He's a good actor, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So very it's cool. Just really interesting, but it's so interesting that we end up, because I don't know, I think it was on Tubi or something like that, and
love Tubi
picks it up, and then I'm talking about it to co-workers, and somebody said, "Oh, I just watched that movie too," and it's like, okay, what are the chances? I think it's from like 2014 or something.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, I forgot about this one. It's not a movie, but one of my favorite like wrestling content right now is Heels, which I think is coming back soonish. But fantastic show. I mean, first season was great.
Yeah, another Punk vehicle.
I was gonna say, speaking of Punk,
it all comes back.
He was actually, you know what? I'll give it to him. He was really good as that character. I forget. Yeah. Rabid, what's the character's name? Something
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Like over the top character, but he was actually quite good in it. And the show itself is great, like kind of story, but it really well revolves around a wrestling family, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, heels would be up there for me.
Have you guys ever seen Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies?
Nope. I can't say I have.
No. I have not either, but when I was reading up on it, apparently it's chock full of wrestlers. And Shane
There's also a horror movie that was Canadian, I believe, but Kevin Nash and a couple other guys were in it, where it's basically it's just monsters fighting each other in a ring. Yeah. I think I forget what it was called. Yeah. It was really bad. It wasn't good, but they had like graphics up and everything for the beginning of the match, and they would put like Frankenstein versus Dracula, and they would go on a match. It was like basically. like a WWE show, but it was really bad. It was not good. But I think Nash was in that.
It kind of reminds me of what was the claymation on MTV.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
That was good. They always had wrestlers on that.
As far as wrestlers making like appearances in movies, DDP makes an appearance in
Rob Zombie's movies,
yeah. The Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he plays one of the their bounty hunters, him and it was DDP and Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
And Triple H and Blade. How random was that?
Yes.
Too?
That's another very random.
Oh, he was good in that, though.
Yeah.
I remember that. He was good in that.
And, yeah. Of course, Miz and the Marine 15. the Marine.
I love the Miz. He knows who he is.
And that's awesome.
Exactly.
And he plays into it. He plays into it. So I made a little list of some of the
Monster Brawl. Sorry, it's called Monster Brawl.
Monster Brawl.
Oh, it's really bad, but go check it out.
Okay.
Watch it after the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, hang on. Let me pull up the IMDb to show you all the people that are in it. So we got here we go. Oh, our boy, our local legend, Robert Mallet, BC. He plays Frankenstein. Yeah. Yeah, Kurgan. Lance Hendrickson is God, apparently. we got, who else? I thought for sure there was more people. Kevin Nash, yeah, was in it. Jimmy Hart. Anyway, go check it out. It's bad, but really good.
Interesting.
Monster Brawl, it's called.
So, yeah, so I made a list of the greatest wrestling actors of all time.
Okay.
That's got to be a short list, eh?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, we're going to go through this. I'm going to rhyme them off really quickly, and I want you guys to decide who's, like, say, the top five and then who's number one. So here we go. We got Steve Austin, because he's done a number of movies.
Yeah, he's done a bunch, yeah.
Yeah. The Rock, of course. Batista.
Yeah.
John Cena, who is a sleeper here because of some of his comedy roles, if you ask me. The Miz, of course. You just mentioned him with his Marine franchise. Roddy Piper, who a lot of people forget about because it's older school. Hulk Hogan, of course. Jesse Ventura. Randy Savage, you know, Bonesaw, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John Morrison, a surprise, but he's actually, he just released a movie that's going to be going to Cannes. It's like the Iron Sheik Massacre or something.
Oh, really?
He's done a bunch of like B movies too.
Yeah.
I think he even did Hercules or something too.
Oh, wow. He loves the B movie stuff, but actually that's a niche for him, right? You know? Sasha Banks, because you can't forget about The Mandalorian.
Right.
Andre for The Princess Bride. Yeah. You know? And then Kevin Nash might be a surprising sleeper in there. I mean, some of the roles that he's had, he got into Magic Mike. He was in
Monster Brawl, obviously. Nominated.
The football movie with Sandler. I forget what the heck that was called.
The Longest Yard.
So you got that. And then maybe the surprise pick of all time. Can you think of who the most prolific wrestler ever in movies was?
As far as like appearances?
Yeah. Huh. I will say this. He's not from US or Canada.
Oh.
Huh.
And he's not from our era of wrestling either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got nothing. I was going to say Jesse Ventura, but.
No. It's El Santo.
Never heard of him.
He's done over 50 movies
wow.
in Mexico. He's like a
Interesting.
Massive, Massive star. Him and Mil Máscaras were big. That's what these.
Does it count if he's under? If does it count if he's under a mask though? I don't know if that.
That is true. It could have been 50 different guys.
It could have been.
So under that exhaustive list, who do you think you're going to pick your top three or five?
I'll do my top three. So I don't think there's not a single doubt in my mind, given that he's the biggest movie star in the world. Is The Rock is clearly number one. For me, then it would go. I really do think so. I'm basing this on not just volume, but box office sort of draw, right? So like actual mainstream box office draw, The Rock is hands down number one. I think it goes Rock, Cena, and Batista, to be honest, because Batista's been in some very massive hits. He's still in the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's done a lot of mainstream movies, like him or hate him, he's an idiot. So let's be honest, he says some stupid things. But I think he's got a draw. I think Cena's proven he's a draw, and The Rock is clearly the draw. So everybody else has done a lot of movies, but they're not the box office draw that those three guys would be. Those are my three.
Good.
Unfortunately, I can't argue with that. It's, I would say probably the best actor of the three is probably Batista. He's gotten, especially his character Drax, or in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Like they're the people of doctors and stuff from the autistic community have praised his acting as that character because it has a lot of very autistic characteristics, and he played it. He's awesome in the role. But he's also been in Dune, the most recent Dune by Villeneuve.
He was in that Knives movie too, wasn't he? What was that?
Knives Out.
Knives Out, yeah.
Yeah, and he was the other one that really caught me was he's in the beginning of Blade Runner 2049.
Right. Yeah.
Which is another Villeneuve movie, but
isn't he in a new like horror movie or something like that too? Or
he was in the Netflix one. The what's that? Army of the Dead, I think it is. He was in.
Isn't there a new one like that's like people in the woods or something like that, or strangers in the woods or something? I don't know. It looks really creepy.
He's gotten some really serious some roles. He was a short-lived bad guy in Spectre, too, James Bond movie.
Yeah.
But Cena's right up there with him, though, because Cena's actually funny. Yeah. And who would have ever thought that he was
Painmaker? That was a great show. Show.
And Trainwreck. Like
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker, that's what it was. Peacemaker, yeah.
He was hilarious in
Trainwreck. Yeah, Trainwreck was hilarious. Was that the one... What was the one where he was playing the dad and he was trying to, and there was like the couples and he was.
Yeah,
like,
I was just trying to place.
Oh my God. What was that? It was hilarious. And there was the whole butt joke thing where he was like, oh my God, what was that? It was funny.
I can't think of it.
Cockblocked, wasn't it? Wasn't it called Cockblocked?
Was it Blockers?
Just Blockers, maybe. But
Where they play the teenage girls are trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
proven
funny.
He's proven he's a draw too, right? Like his movies are doing well. So yeah.
And then I would go with The Rock because I mean he's definitely the highest grossing of all three of them. I mean his work, I think what really there's a couple of movies that he did that I really enjoy, and there are a few things that I geek out about and I don't care if the movies are any good. One of those tends to be the Fast and the Furious movies, and like Ken and Eric will make fun of me endlessly because I actually like the Fast and the Furious movies. I thought he was really good in those movies, and I actually thought he really helped Hobbs and Shaw become a really decent movie. But I love The Rundown.
So good.
And
The Rundown was good. Yeah.
He's really good there. And of course, then he gets to play with Christopher Walken. So
yes,
I mean, you can't ever turn down a chance to play with Christopher Walken.
And I mentioned Walking Tall last
Walking
episode.
Tall's
I enjoyed
good.
That.
That's another. Yeah, he really took that. I know that's one of those movies that gets panned a lot, but it as just as a good time as a popcorn.
Yeah,
as a popcorn movie, it actually stands up and it really does pretty well. And it also has a wrestling crossover. Johnny Knoxville's in the movie too.
Johnny Knoxville, yeah, yeah. Jay brought up a good point in one of our last episodes. He said though, with The Rock, he's just playing The Rock. You know what I mean? Like, whereas Batista's
most of the time
melding into these different characters, and Cena's trying to do the same thing. I found the movie that I was thinking of for Batista. So it hasn't been released yet, but it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's Knock at the Cabin.
Is that the one that's supposed to come out on Apple TV?
I don't know if it's Apple.
I haven't even seen a trailer for that.
It's an American apocalyptic psychological horror film directed by M. Night Shyamalan, who it's based on the 2018 novel The Cabin at the End of the World. So it looks, I saw a trailer for it. It looks creepy as hell.
Cool.
Right? Yeah.
Check that out.
Well, let's hope Shyamalan doesn't Shyamalan it up.
Well, we joked about that, the Happening, right?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I haven't watched his latest, what was it, Old or whatever? I haven't watched
Old. Yeah, I have not watched it either. I got burned too many times by Mr. Shyamalan, because it's like when you have a hit so big as
The Sixth Sense,
thank you. It's hard to ever live up to that again, and he's found it hard. Signs was okay.
I like some. I don't hate all of his movies. I like what was the one where there was like, it was like an old school cult and like, but in like in modern day, what was that one? Oh God. I didn't hate that one either. I can't remember the name of it, but like Signs, I didn't mind. There's a couple ones where like, really, but I see, to me, I go into movies like total blank slate and I'm open-minded. I'm like, if I'm entertained, that's all I care about. I don't give a shit if it's well written or like they fully fleshed out the character development and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, that's great. But if I'm entertained, I'm going to pay for a movie just to be entertained on the big screen, right? Like that's what I want. He does that. To me, he does that. And whether you like his endings or not, they're still enjoyable movies in my opinion.
You were thinking of The Village.
The Village, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. That's I enjoyed that movie. And but that's when I first saw that there was rough waters ahead.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing that movie with my wife and we walked out and we're like, it was very good up until the end.
Do I like it though? Yeah.
Yeah. It ended up being one of those. It's like, okay, this is starting. Rough waters are ahead. It's like, okay, you're taking yourself. You're never going to equal that. I see dead people.
Yeah.
And the whole twist at the end of Bruce Willis at the end of The Sixth Sense.
It's hard for me to disagree with the three that you guys named, but I'm going to give a special shout out to Mr. Piper for They Live and Hell Comes to Frogtown as well.
Hell Comes to Frogtown. Roddy is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And They Live is an amazing movie.
John Carpenter too.
Yes. John Carpenter.
Oh boy.
And boy oh boy, that movie, it has aged very well, we'll put it that way.
Oh boy, has it ever. Are you guys ever planning on doing that one on the show?
That's definitely one that we're definitely going to be looking at for sure.
You could do a whole Carpenter run probably with Halloween, The Thing, I Live, Christine.
Yep, I think that's what we're looking at come next Halloween. We're going to do a Carpenter thing, which is I'm all for it because there's so much fun to be had there.
He's got so much good stuff there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love Christine. I just recently bought The Fog.
Fog was also great,
They just put it out in 4K. So
nice, the original.
Yes,
not the Tom Welling remake?
No. Yeah, no, I'm not a big Remakes tend to not live up to what
It's funny because Halloween Ends is getting dumped on a lot. And like, I liked it. I actually did like it on the surface. It was a good movie. But I can now, as I've I watched it a few times because I went to theater, then watched it. I got home and watched because I have Peacock. And I watched it on Peacock a couple times. And like, okay, I get where the criticisms come from. But there's also the argument to be made that the David Gordon Green tied it in so much to Carpenter with Christine and Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Like, there was so much tie-in that, like, it's almost like, no, he did exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to make it a separate sort of type. Anyway, the backlash is for real, like, so much so that it's petitioned online now. I'm like, this is ridiculous. You're not going to – they're not going to remake the movie because you guys signed an online forum. Like,
well,
not gonna
this is the era that we live in. Where people, I don't know, I've tried to make the case that IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes and all of the sites should take off the critic of the people's response, because one of my favorite things of all time is I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah, same.
And I've been, to say that I've been horrified by some of the fan response to some of the stuff, it's just not needed. If you don't like it, turn it off. You know,
yeah, exactly.
If
change
it's
the channel,
if it's offending your sensibilities that bad, maybe you need to take a break.
Yeah, we say that about wrestling, right? Same thing.
Exactly. We take the same approach. Yeah, and the Halloween Ends criticism I can appreciate on certain levels because they're. Biggest issue is they introduced a brand new character on the third movie. They didn't have Michael in the movie for more than 15 minutes, whatever. But if you take it out of that context and watch it as a movie itself, it's actually quite well done, and the themes of it are good. But I get it. People wanted a Michael Myers movie. Like, that's what they wanted. But
yeah.
Anyway,
so. I kind of buck the trend as far as Halloween goes. The original is my favorite, but then right behind it, I love the Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah, and I can see that take. Now, I didn't love 2, like Rob Zombie's Halloween 2,
right?
But I didn't mind the remake. So you would like, I don't know if you check him out, Cody Leach is a guy I watch on YouTube a lot, does a lot of horror content, but he just did all the timelines. He kind of ranked all the timelines of Halloween, and there's quite a bit now with all the remakes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting to kind of see how the different timelines, and some people have just the first movie as its own timeline. Then some people have, okay, 1 and 2 are a timeline. Then some people have the new Haddonfield timeline where it's one remake and then it kills and ends. And then there's so many different ways you can go. You can go 1, 4, right? You can just go 1 and then 4,
right?
Or 1, 2, and 4, I guess it would be. So there's just, anyway, but he does some good content, so I've been checking that out. But I don't. Also, as a movie guy, you might appreciate this guy, Leighton. Have you ever watched Leighton Oversoul on YouTube? So he goes back and does full retrospects on certain movies. Like, so he does a lot of horror stuff too. So he's done a full sort of retrospective on Friday 13th and Friday 13th Part 2, and with backstory, like similar to what you guys do on the podcast. He does like backstory from trivia stuff or like interesting stuff about the cast or whatever, and like hour plus long shows. It's pretty good. You guys might get some material out of that too.
Oh, very cool. I have to definitely check it out.
Yeah.
It's
subjective and people get so bitter. It's like movies are not meant to be objective. They're subjective taste. So get over it. If you don't like it, somebody else does. Like, it's so stupid. It's annoying.
It is. It really is. And it's, you know, it's going back to Star Wars. Everybody, you know, took a gigantic dump on Ryan Johnson movie. The Last Jedi.
Which one was that one? That was
The Last Jedi.
Was that the last one or the middle one?
The middle one. The most recent trilogy. And it's, you know, I don't know. I liked it. But I like everything Star Wars.
Same. I agree. Totally. I like the prequels.
Right.
I like the prequels. Like,
Right.
Sure, they weren't the greatest, but I liked them. They were on the surface, they were good.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that because my son is like big into Star Wars now, and yeah. I only watched the prequels at the time of they came out, and I didn't watch them ever again because I was the originals fan. Yeah. And so he likes the prequels, and they're actually
Pretty done. Good. People just didn't like the characters or whatever, but
it's like, what they didn't like. Yeah. But he's so peripheral to it. But the actual story of young Anakin and all that stuff was actually pretty good. And then
like how they fleshed out the Senate stuff,
the Senate with older Anakin is fantastic. Yeah.
I agree. I like them.
It's not nearly as bad as what people remembered it to be.
Absolutely, it wasn't the old school.
It wasn't what they wanted in the time, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what happened is you had Lou, there was so much time that had passed in between the two movies. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, the years might not have been so great, but the time from us being kids to then the prequels was a great period of time for us. And all of us had the toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you created your own stories. Mm-hmm. And of course, nothing was going to be what, you know, you had put your imaginations to.
Yeah.
It was doomed to failure.
It's true. It's true.
But modern day backlash it's ridiculous, in my opinion. I just don't get it. I've started to tune it out. It's like people get so bent out of shape over the dumbest things, especially when it comes to movies. And it's like, all right, then you're not a fan. Yeah. Just move on.
Yeah. Yep. Agree totally. Yeah.
Well, we can lump that into 2022 in a nutshell. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so we're getting we're monopolizing way too much of your time here, Ted. So, but before we go, I want to get your opinion. And Jay, actually, I'll get you way in too because you're big on the movies. But very quickly, I want to know from you these three things.
Okay,
what's the greatest movie of all time? What's the most overrated movie of all time? And what's the best horror movie of all time?
Okay, well the movie that I think is the greatest movie of all time, and we did an episode on it, is Casablanca. I think it is as close to a perfect movie as there's ever been made. I think between the story and the filmmaking and the actors, I think it's a perfect marriage. I don't find hardly any fault with it. I'll jump to a horror movie because in my opinion, the best horror movie that's ever been made is The Shining. I'm a massive Stanley Kubrick fan. Mm-hmm. And The Shining to me stands alone as one of the greatest, not only cinematic movies, but, horror movies in general. That's one that I remember seeing as a kid and not being able to sleep that night. It freaked me out. Yeah. Probably saw it too young, but that is what it is at this point. Most overrated movie. That's interesting. My knee jerk reaction to that, would be Citizen Kane.
Okay. Interesting.
The reason that I go there, I don't deny that the movie is revolutionary for the time it was made. However, AFI named it the number one movie of all time. And it's lauded as one of the greatest movies of all time. Now, Orson Welles was an amazing actor, director. To me, it just doesn't have the same punch that it did. And so that's kind of where I would fall. But there are, I know exactly, I keep hearing in my mind what Ken would tell me to say, but I don't agree with him. I can speak confidently that Ken would say the most overrated movie is Gone with the Wind. He and my wife go back and forth all the time because my wife loves Gone with the Wind. So I can hear him already saying it's Gone with the Wind. But yeah, Citizen Kane for me is just a little bit overrated. I think there are better movies. Citizen Kane doesn't even rank, I don't even think, in like my top 50 movies. So whereas AFI named it number one.
Right. Jay, what about you? What would you say in that?
Well, my knowledge is really relegated to one of those questions only, but I don't really like, I don't have the classic knowledge and sort of
your favorite
my favorite movie of all time would go between probably Karate Kid and probably Goonies. That's probably it's probably one of them. Overrated for me, Ninja Turtles 2. It was clearly overrated. That was,
is that another Kevin Nash jam there?
Yeah, super Shredder. Greatest horror movie ever made for me was Halloween, the original, just because it spawned a slasher genre. So to me, there is no Friday 13th, which is my favorite franchise, was a direct copy, literally admittedly so, of Halloween 2 years before. So there is no slasher genre of the 80s if Halloween doesn't happen. So that's my favorite or best horror movie of all time, I guess.
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not as big a movie buff where I can, obviously Casablanca, yeah, you should say that. Yeah. But I honestly, I couldn't give an honest opinion on that, saying like I've seen it, but have I dissected it to go, this is the greatest movie.
I was going
to
say Wizard of Oz, because that was the only one I can remember that was like a classic movie.
That's up there.
Yeah.
For me, it's The Godfather. I don't know.
I was going to think Godfather too,
yeah, big fan of The Godfather. And honestly, I think Rocky, just the story of Rocky, Rocky 1, just because of, I know all the rest kind of, they should have stopped at 1 and that should have been it. But the whole idea of the story is fantastic. The Godfather to me is, and honestly, I was a massive fan of all three. Like I even think number 3 gets, everybody curses that one. I thought that was a pretty good movie, actually.
I agree. I agree with you.
Andy Garcia was fantastic in that movie.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. It is a very underrated movie. I think it gets crapped on because
it's Winona, not one or two.
Right? Well, yeah, and it had Winona Ryder not pulled out, and then you wouldn't have had Coppola's daughter, Sophia, into that role. I think we're looking at something different.
Honestly, though, but she's more believable in a Italian Godfather movie.
Yeah, she definitely fits the part. Oh. But I do enjoy that movie too, even though I think it's unfairly criticized.
Yeah. For sure. Most overrated. I don't know. There's so many overrated movies. Yeah. It's beyond belief. It's just, I'm not even going to go there. Favorite horror for me, because I can't say the best horror because I just haven't skimmed through it, but I mean the first horror I remember watching was Friday the 13th, and that just set me on my path. Classic. And we had this talk today, like I really don't get into today's horror because I think I talk myself out of it, because it's so I almost need the cheesy horror to
there's nothing better than 80s horror. Like I don't think anyone they won't be able to replicate that
to me. To me, when I watch something today, I'm like, who is the sick mind that is thinking of this stuff? You know what I mean? Whereas the other, you can picture them on the set of Friday the 13th chuckling about, okay, watch when we do the splatter on this scene, right? You know,
that guy. The funny thing is practical effects are coming back. So like Terrifier and Terrifier 2 are two kind of like that are, and Terrifier 2 is literally making people walk out of the theater. It's that, it's that gory, but which is good. They want that. Like if that's what you're getting, then you're doing your job.
That's the one with Jericho, isn't it?
He's in it. He's Art the clown. So he's like this really messed up clown who doesn't say a word. And it's kind of like a really gory version of It, if you will. But,
you like the Tom Savini.
I'm a big practical effects guy.
My most overrated, and I'll probably get killed for this, is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I can see that. It's not for everybody. I like the music.
They just go so nuts about that movie.
It's a cult following.
Yeah,
for sure.
One last question. Should comedies be nominated for Best Picture?
That's a good...
Or Best Actor, I should say. Maybe that's a better one. Best Picture might not, but Best Actor in a comedy.
I'll take it from both sides there. As far as Best Actor, absolutely. Yeah. Because making people laugh, and if you can do it universally,
right,
where you would be nominated for Best Actor, definitely you should be nominated. And in some cases, win.
Yeah.
For Best Picture, I'm of the mind, if the movie is good enough, yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't. I say this repeatedly through the podcast. There are two things that are absolutely subjective in movies, and it's horror and comedy. It's literally from person to person. What one person might find funny, another person is not going to laugh however many times the guy steps on the rake and hits himself in the head like Krusty the Clown. what is scary? What is scary to some people is not as scary to other people. Like, there's a movie out there right now that Apple wants me to continue to watch, and it's called Fall. And it's about a person that's trapped on a cell tower or something. Mm-hmm. And I won't watch it. There's no way you could ever make me watch it because I'm terrified of heights. And I actually get that feeling in the stomach watching it. And it scares the crap out of me. But yeah, so it's all subjective.
Yeah.
But if you have a comedy that is like universally regarded as something that is absolutely funny, yeah, I mean, you've then done the hardest thing possible, is you made a whole lot of people laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly, like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I could easily see Steve Martin and John Candy getting nominated for their performances.
Yeah, that. Yeah, it's both wonderful actors too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was one of the things we talked about. You listened to the JFK thing.
Yeah.
I found that so sad when I read that John Candy was actually so nervous because he didn't feel that he was good enough to be on set with Costner and Tommy Lee Jones and all of these great actors. And he totally is. I think Robin Williams proved that you could be a really serious actor and be hilarious.
Yeah.
He was just
being a humble Canadian. That's all.
I love John Candy.
Yeah.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one of the only Thanksgiving movies ever made.
Yeah. For
as sure. We're coming up to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much, Ted. This has been fantastic. I love that we had a little crossover here with a different genre and I appreciate it. And hey, like, we got to get you back on, get Ken on. If he's a big wrestler.
Yeah, yeah, man. Let's do it again.
I will twist his arm and we'll get us all together. Yeah. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I thank you guys so much. Like I said, I love interacting with you guys on Twitter, because I'm the one that does handle the Twitter stuff. As long as Elon Musk allows me to. So yeah, it's been really fun. And
promote your show, man. Give us all we can get it.
We are Hooked on Movies. We are on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Good Pods, you name it, we're there. Leave us like I said before, we have movies for all different tastes. We have Christmas movies, we have all the way through horror movies, so I'm sure if everybody could find at least one movie that they can latch onto.
I'd agree with that. Yep. Looking through your list of movies, definitely there's something for everybody there. And I will reiterate, after listening to, I haven't listened to the whole catalog, because I mean, I got to catch up, but I've listened to a number of your recent episodes. And I mean, we're not just talking about a bunch of guys getting on going, oh, this movie sucked or that girl was hot. No, these guys dissect, and you can tell that you've gone through, you're taking notes about the movie. You're really looking at the whole why of the movie. And that's a big difference than just a, hey, it's two thumbs up and away we go. Right.
So,
you know, it's a great podcast. So wish you guys all the success in the world with it, for sure.
Thank you so much for the kind words. We appreciate it, and we appreciate all the support we can get. And I love talking with you guys. Have me on whenever you want. You just want to come on and chat if somebody does something stupid in AEW again. I'll be more than happy to jump on. And
well, that would be every week, Ted.
So yeah, pretty much. Yeah, somebody's going to do something dumb. But
oh, we'll definitely have you both on next time, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're
looking at maybe even doing some live streaming on YouTube. Maybe we'll get you guys on that.
Oh, and, that'd be fun.
Promote on YouTube as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Sure.
All right, Jay, anything before we say goodbye?
No, this was good, and looking forward to checking out the podcast and deep diving into some of the Blair Witch one is fascinating to me, because I actually wouldn't mind rewatching that before I listen to your guys' show. So, yeah, no, it's been great, been fun, and yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, and I'll just throw it out there. You guys know where to find us if you're listening to us. It's at WWTTPod on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is at Wrestling with the Truth. And YouTube, it's Wrestling with the Truth. Please head on over, subscribe, check out our videos, leave some comments and all that stuff for us. And if you can, if you want to hear your five-star review from Apple read off on the air, leave one on there, and we'll certainly read it out. I'll be heading over. That's one thing I've forgot to do for you guys, Ted. I'll be heading over and dropping a five-star review on your show as well.
Thank you so much.
Keeping with the November to Remember, Jay, I think our next episode, we're going to be kind of in that movie genre a little bit as well, because we're going to have Matt Ritter from Smackin' It Raw coming on to our show.
That's right. Yep. And excited for that.
I might just not even talk the whole thing. I might just put the headphones down, just listen to you guys go at it there, because he's Matt does a horror based podcast, horror movies and wrestling. So
and wrestling as well. Yeah.
So,
it's pretty much symbiosis right there.
So looking forward to that. So folks, we thank you for your support. We're looking forward to our next episode. Ted, best of luck with all your endeavors, and for Jay, for Ted, for Hooked on Movies, and for Wrestling with the Truth, I'm BC Hunter, saying that we are out of here.